Let me ask you a question. Have you experienced artificial intelligence yet? Let me just say, you have, whether you knew you did or not. It's here. It's not coming. It's here. And we experience it, right? Well, what is it? What is artificial intelligence? It's a man-made creation. It's a program on a computer that some men or man or men created. It's a computer system that mimics aspects of human communication. It talks to you like it's another human. It perceives things from what you say. It understands things and draws conclusions on what to say to you next. Just like it had a brain of its own, right? That's why they call it artificial intelligence. It doesn't get that intelligence from itself. It's from a program somebody created. Amen? Artificial intelligence, AI as it's known. That's a big thing today, isn't it? The ultimate expression of this is labeled artificial general intelligence. You know what that implies? It knows all things. It's general intelligence. I know everything about everything. Don't believe it. Don't ever believe that. Don't ever depend on it that way. AGI, a synthetic system. Well, what does it mean it's synthetic? It's man-made, man-created, right? It's a synthetic system that thinks, reasons, and learns in the same way that humans learn to function. Have you ever thought about that? How did you learn? Through experience. You learn through experience. Something happened, somebody reacted, you saw how that happened, and that started to condition you. If this happens, this is going to be the response. That's how you knew to bother your parents with something, because you knew it would upset them, right? Now, I know you didn't do that on purpose, okay? But it happens, right? That's artificial intelligence. It learns that way. It experiences life in a limited way, but the more humans interact with it, the more it learns and grows. Does that make sense? It's just like a human in that sense. It uses experience to gain knowledge and know how to work. In other words, it's technology that learns to imitate and manipulate human speech so that it appears human. It appears human. Now, I've not yet seen an actual independent robot or android that looks like a human. I know they have robots and androids, but they don't really look human, do they? Not yet. Right? You don't see them like you saw them in Star Wars, right? Some of them resemble that. You don't see them like the Terminator. The Terminator just looked like another person. But it wasn't a person. It was AI in an artificial body, right? That's what some people are pushing for, AI in a body like that. And they'll justify that by saying, well, if we do that, then we won't need humans to go to war. People will not be killed anymore. It'll be androids, human-like things that are killed. Don't buy into it. Don't trust it at all. Amen? Amen. AI is already becoming a part of our everyday life. I'm sure you've received some AI sales calls. Now, when you first get one, it's just like a human, you know, and you answer it like a human. But pretty soon you catch on. Even they give you their name. They call themselves that. But they're not human. They're a computer program. And so after you understand that, after they've engaged you and imitated being a human, then you understand they're not humans. And you recognize it and treat them accordingly. You know how to treat them accordingly? Click. Or in these days, click. Yes, that's it. God said to His people in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you." Fear not, I am with you. Let's go to the Lord. Father, help us today to understand who we are and who You are and the strength that we have in You, because You are in us. You have given us Your Son as our Savior. You have given us the Holy Spirit as Your power, Your empowerment here on earth to do good and to follow You, Lord, so that we can encourage others to follow You, Lord, and not be led astray by anything that comes before us, that's man-made, created, that's synthetic, Lord. We don't go for that. We go for You, the true God, the true Creator, the true lover of us, that You would give Your life, shed Your blood for us, Lord, that we might know You and even spend eternity with You, because You loved us enough to give Yourself on the cross. Lord, nothing artificial, nothing man-made is going to do that for us, because humanity is generally selfish and are using all of this for their own gain. Lord, help us not to buy into it, even though it may be part of what's coming. You have given us this knowledge to help us recognize that You are the true God that supplies all of our needs and does. You've given Yourself for us that we would be with You for eternity. Help us to keep that in mind, Lord, that we don't get off track and get involved in something we don't need to be. Help us receive the message, Lord, of You are God. You've always been God. You'll always be God. Help us to have that faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God said, "Fear not, I am with you." Well, why am I reminding you of that today? Because a lot of people are very fearful about AI and where it's going to lead and what's going to happen to humanity in the future. Some people are saying most of humanity is going to be wiped out because AI is going to take its place, and those that are left behind are going to be like human slaves, serving AI and doing what it wants you to do, because somebody, some human or group of humans are programming and telling AI how to treat us and what to do. That's really what's behind AI. Somebody wanting to control everybody else. Believers do not need to fear. Believers do not need to fear. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Lord in us. We have Him working for us, guiding us. And so we never have to fear. Believers' thoughts of the future bring eagerness and comfort because we know what's going to happen. We know the Lord is going to come back and He's going to take control. And we know that we're going to go to Him and be with Him in glory. So we don't have to worry about it. We might face some challenges, but we know where we're going to end up, don't we? These are some of the signs of the beginning of the end. That's what we're looking for today. God gave us these signs so we would know we're getting close. Amen? Here are just a few of them. Many will claim to be Christ. There'll be false messiahs. That's happening already. Wars, rumors of wars. Is that happening? Yes, it is. Nation versus nation. Well, what's the difference between that and wars and rumors of wars? We can be at war with a nation today and not fire a shot, not send a missile. We can be at war with them with economics. In fact, we are right now at war with a country over economics. Our president's going to meet with the president of that country and try to work it out, right? There'll be famines, earthquakes, and plagues. Is that happening? Okay, there's another sign. We're getting close. There'll be a huge increase of false teaching. Is that happening?
Yes.
Well, that's what AI is all about. You don't need to depend on God. We've got artificial intelligence. It'll take care of us. So you can depend on that. There'll be abandonment of Christ and His salvation. I'll tell you what, you try to witness to some people and they'll tell you right up front, "I don't want to hear about that. I don't need Jesus. I've got this." They don't even know the half of it. They don't follow His doctrines, His teaching. They're ripe for demonic influence and activity. They'll be led astray without the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Denial and opposition of truth and law. That's what they're doing. You see it right now. You see all these, no king, right? No king. Most of those people are paid to go out there.
Right.
It's not because they feel that way. No, they need the money, so they're going to do that. I'd go out there and hold a sign. Not. But if somebody's in real need, they go out there and hold a sign if you're going to pay them enough money to do it. I'd rather hold a sign that says, Jesus is coming. He's coming. Are you ready? You know, put the onus on them again. Now, Israel becomes a sovereign nation. Well, that happened in 1948. That's already happened. You know what you need to have to be a sovereign nation? You have to have a government. You have to have self-rule. You have to have currency. You have to have a monetary system. You have to have land. You can't just be, you know, mixed amongst the people, although some people are trying to do that today. No, you have to have a country, and you have to have a religion. If you don't have those four things, you're not considered a nation, a country. Israel has those things. We have those things, and we are a nation and a country, and they are as well. That didn't happen for the last 2,600 years, since 605 BC, that's 600 years before Christ. They were not a nation. They were scattered throughout the world. But then in 1948, they were given land again, and they started coming back to their homeland. And now they have it, 2,600 years later. That's how long it took. That tells you that God is long-suffering, and He will do the things He says He's going to do. I will make you a nation. And He has kept His word. Amen. God promised Abraham and his posterity that He would have Canaan as an everlasting possession. That's what they're fighting over today over there. Israel is Canaan land. Gaza Strip, that's part of it. They want it. The Jews want their land. God wants them to have it. And it's been 2,600 years in the making. And who do you think is going to come out on top? God is. That's who. No doubt about it. He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Canaan as an everlasting possession. And then Ezekiel was promised a physical and spiritual resuscitation of Israel. That's happening as we speak. Can you name a nation that disappeared 2,600 years ago and came back as a nation today other than Israel? No, there is no other one. They are the chosen people of God. We are part of that chosen people because we are trusting Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has circumcised our heart so that we would trust Him and become part of His people. Amen?
Amen?
So we're in there. If you are a believer, if you've been born again, you're part of God's plan of redemption. And you're going to be redeemed, no doubt about it. But no other nation, no other people will see those things. Seeing these signs allows the born again to look at the future with eagerness. Are you waiting? Are you waiting for the day? First thing that's going to happen is the sky is going to split open. The Lord's going to come, not all the way back, but He's going to be up there in the atmosphere, and He's going to call all His believers out of the world. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those that are living will be called up after that. It'll happen so fast you won't even be able to tell the difference. But it'll happen that way. How do I know? God said it would. Somebody once said, God said, I believe it, and that settles it. No, it doesn't. It's God said it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, if God decreed it to happen, it will happen. Amen?
Amen.
And it's going to happen.
Praise God.
Two key thoughts. Two key thoughts that believers should keep in mind about the future. First, God is sovereign and controls everything. God is sovereign and controls everything. He knows the future, and He absolutely controls what will happen so it will unfold the way He wants it to happen. That is the sovereign God that we serve. Things don't just haphazardly happen. They happen in an order and for a reason. And the reason is God. Amen? Amen. He knows the future and absolutely controls it. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. That's Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. It says this. Remember the former things of old. God's talking to His people in Israel. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will do it. That's the God we serve. He's not wishy-washy about things. He says it, it's going to be done. Doesn't matter if we trust Him or believe it or not, it's going to be done. But the thing is, you need to trust Him. You need to be on board with Him. You need to be holding His hand and walking along with Him in the Spirit. That's where you'll come out on top, all right? Always remember this thing. God is sovereign. He's in control. Do what He says. Trust what He says. And you will be coming out with Him on the other side. Amen? For eternity. That's the first thing to remember. He's sovereign. He loves you. He wants you to be with Him. The second thing to remember is this. The second thing about the future is that the Bible tells us what will happen. God has told us in His Word what's going to happen. It's called prophecy. Has He prophesied things before? Yes. Of course He has. Have they come out and been true? Yes. Of course they have, just like He said they would come out, right? Because the Bible is God's revelation to humankind. It's Him telling us, this is My plan. Do you want to be on board with Me? This is how it's going to happen. Follow My plan. Mainly trust Me. Trust Me and walk with Me. Amen? And because God knows and controls the future, as we just heard Isaiah say, then it stands to reason that when the Bible speaks about what will occur in the future, we can believe it. We can believe it. You can take it to the bank, as they say, right? Even though banks today aren't that trustworthy. It could be gone in a heartbeat, right? All right. But you can trust God with your very life. Trust Him with your life. Concerning predictions about the future, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:21, no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. Oh, there's people out there that they'll tell you they can tell you the future. Look at their record. See how right they are about things. You'll see. You can't trust them. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. God uses faithful followers who are committed to Him to speak forth the truth that's coming in the future. He uses His people to give those messages. Do they do it today? No. God's not giving new prophecy today. He's given all of His prophecy right here in His Word. If you want to know what's coming, if you want to know what God's going to do, get into the Word and read it and study it and hide it in your heart. It's all there. I spoke the other night, Thursday night, about that same thing. We know God because He's told us about Himself in His Word. Well, what's going to happen after everybody's been saved, after the unbelievers have gone to hell? What's going to happen? And then we're in glory with God. What's going to happen? We don't know yet, do we? We know we're going to be there with Him, but we don't know exactly what we're going to be doing. Oh, we know we're going to be praising and singing glory to Him. But what else are we going to do? He hasn't really told us yet. I have a feeling that we're going to get some more knowledge from God when we get there. Because God wants to share with us. He wants us to know what He's going to do. So I love God for that. He's told us everything we need to know to get us there. Then we'll go on from there, right? That's God. He loves us. Oh, Lord. God is a sovereign God and controls everything. He always is in control. God knows the future. He's in control. He's given it to us. He is not using men now to give prophecy or women. He's given us everything we need. This truth is evident in the fact that unlike the false prophecies made in other religions or by secular individuals that I just mentioned, the Bible has never once been wrong. Never once. Oh, there was a time when some of the archaeologists said, oh no, they were wrong. The Bible spoke of a civilization that lived in the Middle East and they couldn't find any evidence of it. And they said, well, there's an error in the Bible. You see, that's just man-made words. It's no good. Then somebody dug in the right place. And what did they find? They found a complete library giving the history, the language, all the ins and outs of this civilization that God mentioned in the Bible. No more doubt. No more doubt. Right? God knows it all, and He gives us what we need to know when we need to know it, so that we will be faithful to Him. Amen? Every time the Bible has predicted a future event, it didn't just happen that we could say, well, that sounds like that thing in the Bible. No, it doesn't go like that. It happens exactly as Scripture says it will happen. Go back in the Old Testament and read about the crucifixion of Christ. It is extremely detailed about what's going to happen. It tells you almost moment by moment. The first response to Bible prophecy should be that we respond in obedience. We respond in obedience. We're talking about why should we obey the Bible? Why should we believe prophecy? Because we can trust God that it's His Word and that we should respond to it in obedience. Which is what Peter just said. In Mark 13, 32 and 33, it tells us to be ready for His coming, which could happen at any time. The Lord can come back any moment. Everything that needs to have happened has happened. So you're probably thinking, well, Brother Dan, why hasn't He come? Because He wants more people to be saved. He's waiting for everyone He's called to answer the call. And He doesn't grab them by the neck and shake them up and bring them down and say, okay, you answer this call. I've been calling you. No, that's not how He does it. He calls in love and He draws them with love. And when they respond that way, then He'll move on. Amen? So He says this in Mark 13, 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is in. Yes, we should be always ready, living in such a way that we are never ashamed of our behavior, because we never know when the Lord's going to come.
That's right.
We don't want to have to answer for things that are not pleasing to Him, do we? Okay, So, number one, are we going to just stop sinning altogether? Probably not. But should we start asking for forgiveness altogether? Yes. So as soon as you identify something you've done that's not according to the Lord, not has to be forgiven. Then you'll have nothing to be accountable for when you get there. Amen?
Amen?
There is a day of reckoning coming. The Scripture says our works will be tried as by fire. All the bad stuff, burned up. Good stuff, refined to be even better. But it doesn't matter if your pile burns up completely. If you said yes to Jesus, you're still going to be saved.
Amen.
You're still going to be saved. It's about trusting Him, although we should be doing work for Him. Amen? The second response to all of these prophecies is worship. We should be worshiping the Lord. Jesus is the way to escape the end time judgments. Did you know that? I suspect some of us are here for that reason. We don't want to be part of that judgment. But if you're trusting Jesus, you'll be in the judgment that guarantees you'll be saved. Amen? Jesus is the way to escape end time judgment. He has offered His free gift of our salvation. Did it cost you anything to get saved? Not right off. But it cost Him His life. It cost Him His shed blood. You see, He did that for us. Amen? He has offered His free gift of our salvation, which He paid for on the cross. We must be sure to receive His salvation and live in gratitude of Him. That's why we praise Jesus and give Him all the glory. He did that all for us, gave Himself for us. Our water baptism shows gratitude, committing to a life of serving the Lord. That's what you're doing when you get in that water and you go under the water. You're saying, I'm dead now. I'm dead to what I want. It's all for Him now. Then you come back up out of that, you're living for the Lord now.
Amen.
And you're doing what He's saying. You're following the Holy Spirit and serving the Lord the way He wants you to. Remember, our worship on earth will one day become worship in heaven. One day we'll be worshiping up there. And they, Scripture says, and they, that's the redeemed, they sang a new song saying, worthy are You to take the book and to break its seals, for You were slain and purchased for God with Your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. He bought us back from sin. He bought us back from hell. It's to Him we owe all the glory. Amen?
Amen?
The third response is proclamation. Proclamation. The message of God's salvation and the truth of His second coming need to be proclaimed for all to hear. That's on us, beloved. Jesus said, go. Go and give them the message of My sacrifice for them, so they'll know they can be saved. They don't have to worry about where they're going to end up. We must give everyone the chance to turn to God and be saved from His wrath that's coming. It's not the devil's wrath. He's going to be subject to God's wrath too. It's the wrath of God, the wrath of the Lord that's coming. And why is it coming? For those who would not trust His salvation. It's not for people that got born again that said, yes, Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. I'll serve Him because He saved me. It's not for those people. It's for those that said, don't bother me about Jesus. I'll take care of it. Yes, it will be taken care of, but not the way they think. We must give everyone the chance to accept Jesus. Revelation 22:10 says, and He said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Yes, we need to tell the truth. Well, what's the truth? Jesus loves you and gave Himself in your place so you could be saved. He loves you. What do you have to do to get that salvation? Trust Him. That's it. Just trust Him. Won't cost you a dime. Trust Him. That's what He wants. Amen. The third response is proclamation. Go and share Jesus with others. That's our commandment. The fourth response to God's prophetic word is service. Here comes the sacrifice. Here comes the sacrifice. Service. All believers should be diligent about carrying out God's will and performing good works. Not to get saved. You don't do good works to get saved. You can never be as good as Jesus.
No.
We don't do good works for salvation. We trust in Jesus and His work for salvation. But we do the works to show that we care about others like Jesus did, and we want them to be saved. We do the work for His sake. Do we benefit from it? Sometimes. Sometimes. You'll benefit from it one day when the Lord says, good work, faithful servant. You followed the commandment. That's what we're looking for. Not reward here, but up there, right? So mainly we should be sharing the good news that Jesus has paid to free us from His coming wrath. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Part of Christ's judgment will be about the works performed by believers. Believers. He's passed the baton to you. But He didn't leave you without help. I'm going to give you the power of God through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the desire of God through the Holy Spirit. I want you to go and tell about Me. And the Holy Spirit will go and help you to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Part of Christ's judgments will be about the works performed by believers. The works of going and telling. This does not determine a Christian's acceptance into heaven. It's not about that. That's been settled. You called on the name of the Lord. What does the Scripture say? You will be saved. So the work doesn't save you. It just shows you are saved and that you're willing to do what Jesus said. You're humbling yourself to Him, right? Paul says of this judgment that believers are going to, he says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a pretty serious sounding name, isn't it? The judgment seat of Christ. Well, that kind of sounds like bad news, doesn't it? But it's not. It's not where Jesus says you're in, you're out. You're in, you're in, you're in, you're out. No, that's not what He's doing there. He's saying, look at all the good things you did for Me. Here's your reward. He's judging how big your reward's going to be. That's what He's judging. You have eternal life. Now enjoy all these other things. That's what it is. Judgment seat of Christ. So that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. If you did good, you spread the word of the Lord, you're going to have a heaping big pile of good stuff, right? But if you didn't want to go, you didn't want to tell, you didn't want to say anything about Jesus, your pile is going to be real small, even if you have one. It's not about your salvation. It's about what you did with that salvation. Amen? That's the truth. God is sovereign over all events and all people of the world. He is firmly in control of everything. You ever think about that? You ever wonder about that? All the things going on in the world. How can God let that happen? Part of the plan. Who am I to question God and His plan? I can't do that. What I might think is good, He would look at and say, you got to be out of your mind. That's not good. Let Him be the judge. Amen. He is sovereign. He's in control. He will bring a perfect end to everything that who started. He started. He started this whole thing. I think He'll know how to end it. Would you agree with that? I think He will. Fulfilled prophecy is the proof that the Bible is a supernatural book. What's the main prophecy you like in the Bible that's been fulfilled? Mine is that Jesus came and took my wrath, and now I'm home free. That was prophesied thousands of years before it happened. And it happened exactly as it unfolded. That's proof to me. That's what I want to believe. That's the God I want to trust in. That He has given us His supernatural knowledge that we are His. And we can be loved by Him. Amen? Hundreds of Old Testament prophecies have already been fulfilled, and it is reasonable to conclude that what prophecy says about the end times will be fulfilled. It's not a maybe. It's not an if. It's going to happen just like God said. Do you have to worry about what's going to happen? Why not? Because God said, He's taken us out of here. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be opted out of every bad thing. I don't know that for sure. But I know we're going to be opted out of the wrath of God that's going to happen here. He's going to take believers out. Before that, we should be telling everybody it's happening. Believe Him. Trust Him. Trust Jesus. Amen? For those who know Jesus and have trusted Him as their Lord and Savior, His coming will be their blessed hope, which was spoken of in Titus 2:13. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. That's Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us, buy us back from every lawless deed, and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. He's buying us back. He's already bought us once. Wholesale bought us out. And then now for the things we did after that, He's going to buy us back again. Oh, beloved, make sure you're confessing and keeping a short tab with Jesus. But for those who have rejected Christ, yes, there's the other side of the coin. You want the truth? That's what you're going to get. I'm not just going to paint a big rosy picture for everybody. It's not going to be that way. For believers, it'll be great. For rejectors, it's going to be horrible. Horrible. The bottom line on this is trusting Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." The lost will not even be seeing Jesus after they appear for judgment. They'll see Him at judgment, and that'll be the last time. For eternity, they will suffer. No, they won't be snuffed out. They won't be disembodied somehow, some way. It'll never be over for them. That's why it's so urgent that we tell them. Their suffering is going to be eternal. Over and over again. And I think the worst part will be that they'll be reminded over and over that they could have been saved by trusting Jesus, but they rejected it. I could have had it. I could have been there. I passed. I passed on. The bottom line is this: to survive the end times, make sure you are a believer trusting in Christ. That's how you're going to get through it. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's us. That's us. We're saved through Jesus Christ. God's Word says in Matthew 24:5-8, "Many will come in My name, claiming I am Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed." Talking to believers, don't be alarmed, don't be fooled. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. That's the beginning. What's going to happen after that? The tribulation. That shows us it's going to start. Then it's going to continue. Ryan, would you come up, please? God has given us enough information that we can be prepared to face this without fear. It does not matter what we face in this world. We can face it without fear because we are one with Jesus. He has bought us back and given us the victory. Our only responsibility is to share that good news. That's all we have to do. And if you try to share it with somebody and they tell you to be quiet, they don't want to hear it, just be quiet and go on. Pray for them. Whisper a little prayer. But don't fight with them and argue. That's not what Jesus wants. Just tell them. It'll be stuck up there because the Holy Spirit will use it. Amen? God's given us the information so we can be prepared. So what will we say as believers? Come, Lord Jesus. Come. We're ready. And if you don't come right now, just use me. Use me to tell the good news. You can do it. Most of you here are probably believers already, but if you're not, trust Him. Confess Him. Call on Jesus to save you. And then share that with us. We'll all love you for that. We'll all celebrate with you. We want you to be saved. We want you to be with Jesus. There's only one way that's going to happen. For you to say, Jesus, save me. I know who I am. And you do too. I'm a sinner. He will. He will. You can come forward. As we sing, we're going to sing.